Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. Happy Father's Day, everybody, to all our fathers out there. As you guys know, every year we do our gift for all of our fathers. So on your way out, we'll have a table. We're going to bless you with a dad's root beer today, as we do every year. So that's just our Happy Father's Day gift to you. So all our fathers, please make sure you get that after service today. And like Pastor mentioned, we went above and beyond with our camp. It wasn't even a fundraiser. It was just an ask. It was just a request. And across our fundraiser and across last week, we raised over $7,000 for our youth to go to camp. And that is what happens when the people of God say yes. Amen. When the people of God can get behind a cause. And it's a great cause that we're all supporting. So thank you so much, everyone who gave and supported us financially. Like Pastor said, it is taken care of. And it's great because there was even more expenses we didn't know about. We have to rent two vans because we have over 30 people going to camp this year. Praise God. So it worked out so perfectly. And you guys, that is this week. We are leaving Thursday. So if you are signed up, again, the times we mentioned this past week in our parent meeting, but we're meeting here at the church Thursday at 12:30, and we're going to be coming back Saturday somewhere from 1:30 to 2 o'clock, right in that window. So if you are signed up, if you're ready to go, take care of those permission slips, take care of the payment. But if the payment's an issue, praise God, let me know, because our church gave. Amen. So we're very excited for that. So I'll be sending out one more text or email confirming everybody's spot. So if you are a student here or your child is signed up, please look out for my text or email. And if you could please give me just a thumbs up to verify, we can cross all the T's and dot all the I's. And then all that admin stuff will be over and I will be as light as a feather. It will be amazing. But my wife had this wonderful idea. It's something that we're going to do. And Beth, if you want to make your way over here real quick. How many of you know it's important to pray for our young people as they're going to camp this next week? Amen. So we're going to put you to the test. So we made these bracelets, or I should say the girls and my wife, Bethany and Luce, they made bracelets all week. And so this is just going to have a student's name on it. And you can just put this on your wrist like this. And you can say, I'm praying for Bethany this week. And you wear that bracelet all week just to remind you to pray for our students. And all 25 of our students who are signed up have their name in this bag here. And our leaders too. Well, especially for the leaders. You got to pray for them especially. You guys sent 17 girls, mostly in middle school, with us. So if you get Samantha or Leticia, we better make sure someone from the prayer team gets that one. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm just going to ask you right here and right now, if you want one of these bracelets and if you want to pray for one of our students this week leading up into camp and while they're at camp, would you raise your hand and Bethany will bring this around? Okay. No picking, so you're just getting one. Amen. Thank you. Give it up for these people who are going to be praying for our young people. Amen. Thank you so much, guys.
Can we know where our kids are? Is it possible to have them, stand up?
Everyone who signed up, will you stand up real quick as they pass that around? Amen. Awesome, guys. And so please, if you have that bracelet, please pray for the students that they would just have a heart to receive what God has for them. Amen. And pray for our camp. Pray for Pastor Sean, who's going to be ministering the word. Pray for all the leaders who are going to be up there. And pray that everything just goes according to the way God wants it to for our students just to receive everything he has for them. Amen. Amen. Well, they're going to finish passing that out, but that's going to be it for the announcements. Junior high, if you could please stand and make your way towards the back, and then the pastor will come.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the good things that are happening. Amen. Hallelujah. All the youth and all the good stuff's going on. Praise God. Hallelujah. I do have one more announcement for you, because people have been asking about, you know, we canceled Wednesday nights because we were doing all of our remodeling and getting everything accomplished. And thank you all for just being so precious and with us and patience. I think it looks really good. I think the carpet, our chairs have been ordered. They're being made. It takes 2.5 to 3 months to make it. We're believing that it's going to be quicker than that, but that's just the way it goes. But we're doing progress of what we have here, and I think it looks beautiful. But according on Wednesday nights, what we're going to do is we're not going to have Wednesday nights for the summer, but we're going to be starting them back up in August, and they're going to be a little bit different than what they have been. You know, we're going to put a lot of you to work in a lot of ways and do some things because, you know, in this day and age, you know, we only have Sunday mornings. And we have Wednesday night, two times. And it's really hard to be discipled when you're only fed twice. And, you know, if you're only eating twice a week, you're going to have a great body, okay? It's going to be really, really skinny, all right? But we want to be able to disciple. There's a lot of things that take place. We want people that get born again. But discipleship and learning and growing. And so we are going to be reestablishing some things there. We're probably going to have 3 different classes on Wednesday nights, not taught by me, taught by you, and we'll be picking those folks out and talking to you. We're going to come draft you. You're not going to volunteer. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you are going, oh my gosh, what, you know, hey, it may surprise you what you have on the inside of you. But no, we are just, I really feel like that's something that we need to do and to really begin to grow in the things of God, because I believe that there's going to be a great increase. I mean, you couldn't tell it by this morning. There's a lot of folks having vacations, having Father's Days and everything, but God has his hand upon us. We're still going full steam ahead in everything we're doing, allowing God to be God, you know, for our new facilities and all that stuff, but praise God, in the midst of it, we're going to continue to have church here. Amen? God wants to do that. You know, and if you don't want to learn, you don't have to come. Praise God. It's easy. Just come on Sundays and we'll be blessed. But we want to do that. We want to be able to pour into you. You know, we just, some things that we've just learned, especially, you know, with this next generation, you know, and then also we want to give them what we've learned, but also we want to put the older generation in remembrance of what we've learned and how to put it into operation. Amen. And that's our goal. Our goal is to do that. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, I've been teaching for a long time and I love to teach. And another thing that's going to take place probably in this fall, we're going to reestablish our school of ministry classes and teaching on a different night, not on Wednesday nights, because we're not going to compete with anybody else. But it'll be a different night that we're doing like we used to do. So, because I've had a lot of younger people ask me those questions and say, hey, and I say, well, I don't mind. I can teach every night of the week. I love it. So anyways, that's what's going to start happening up here. So we're excited. Of course, in the meantime, over the summer, we're going to have a lot of good things. We have VBS. You know, we got the kids going this week, and then the next week following that is VBS. We've got 38 kids coming right now. Praise God. So amen. And we have a lot of helpers. And thank you all of you that signed up for that. You guys are awesome. We do. It's so, so precious. You know, we do that. Miss Andrea, what do you have there?
I have a Father's Day gift for you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. God bless you. This is so precious. You are so precious, so precious. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oops. There we go. Yep, there we go. I'll set that right down there. Thank you, Miss Andrea. That's precious. Amen. What? Oh, I do? You know what? Since I died and came back, you guys are doing way too much, okay? And I'm trying. I'm really hard at receiving things, okay? All right. Ooh, these are good. These are good. Not that I can have them. They're dark chocolate balls, but I would be really nice to eat those things. Really good. Thank you. Huh? There's another gift in there? Okay. All right. All right. Oh, I found it. Oh, look at that. Amen. I am living proof. Amen. Whoa! I was trying to be living proof. Amen. Hallelujah. No, thank you. And for those of you that don't know, exactly 4 months to the day, today, is when I had the heart attack and cardiac arrest. And my heart stopped and went through 7 days of life support and all that kind of crazy thing you all know. And this is my first Father's Day after that. So everything is, everything's a first. And I love the song that Pastor Pam sang, I'm so grateful. Because God did give me chance after chance after chance after chance. And so I'm so thankful for that. You know, it touches my heart. That's why every day is a gift. Every day is wonderful. Every moment of every day is wonderful. And you never take it for granted. Because we can go through life and take things for granted. You saw, oh, it's this, it's this. It's like, no. Praise God, every day is special. Every day. Hallelujah. And, it was a real milestone yesterday because I actually went and worked out with the guys at the park where I had the cardiac arrest. And, and did a few things. So I did okay, Got in trouble, but everything's good. No, they watched out for me. I wanted to make sure they were doing okay? Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. You know, today's Father's Day, and I thought about what we could do and try to put the guys on the spot and make them all feel uncomfortable, but I decided I wasn't going to do that. As I was praying and fellowship ministering to the Lord, and just kind of thinking about things, I just was so reminded of God's love toward us. And when you understand that Jesus loves you, that God loves you, it changes everything about you. Amen? It really does, because it changes how you receive the Word of God, how you look at things. Now, if you think God's mad at you, it changes everything else too. But when you really know how much God loves you, how much He cares for you, and what He wants to do for you, amen. I mean, guess what? It was God's plan for the church. It was God's plan for the family. It was God's plan to have people be His sons and daughters. God chose you. He came after you. If you're born again here this morning, God chose you. He ran after you. He wanted you. He chose. The Bible says none of us can come to God except the Holy Spirit draws us. So you were drawn because God said, I want her. I want him. I want you. I desire you. I love you. Isn't that amazing? Now, it's great if people who you know, well, thank God you love me, but you can't do anything for me. But when you know God and His love, and He can do everything for you, that changes everything. That changes everything. Here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew not Him. You knew Him not. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. And what I want to put you in remembrance is you realize, and just like she said, God is our example. He's our Father. We see all through the Word of God talking about the way God is. Now, I know in the Old Covenant, man, you can think God was mean. Kill them all, annihilate them all. Let's get this here. I mean, war. But God was endeavoring to protect the seed so that the rest of the world could be saved. And that's why he had Israel, and he had all them endeavoring to be purified so that he could protect the seed that he had so that when Jesus came, all things changed. Amen? Amen. So that the whole world got saved. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And we thank God for that. Because why is that so vitally important? It's so vitally important because it's a foundation. How many know if your foundation's wrong, then everything you're building upon it is not going to be steady. Amen? And it used to be that if we did do a good foundation, but it's crazy how people are building their houses. There's a lot of folks who have a good foundation of Jesus Christ being their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. but they haven't built anything else upon that. They haven't grown. They haven't began to build and build the things that God wants them to build. Amen? You know, Jesus is, in fact, you're there in 1 John. Go over to John chapter 17. Go to John chapter 17. Jesus' high priestly prayer is so awesome. Hallelujah. And what he declared and what he said for us, investing in verse 23. Hallelujah. Actually, verse 17 all the way down to 23 is so good, but we're just going to read 23 for the sake of time here. Hallelujah. But here's what he said. He said, and Jesus is praying. Actually, let's read verse 22, kind of get in context. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and that you have loved them as you have loved me. The same love that the Father has for Jesus is the same love he has for you. And I know it's so hard to comprehend, but yet if you begin to receive it. See, because nothing really works in your life unless you receive it, unless you act upon it, unless you believe that it actually is for you. I mean, one of the very first songs I ever remember singing, you know, and the first time I remember singing it was probably when I was 2 or 3 years old because I grew up in church. So, but this is the first song I ever remember singing was Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was he. Okay, and I can sing all that. But the first song, second song was Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we know it's a children's song, but you know what? It's a song that is so powerful that if you really know that, then it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you. Nothing else stops you from allowing God to bless you. Amen? Nothing else stops you in your thing. And you've got to lay that foundation of that. You know, some people think, well, I found God, so he has to accept me. No, you didn't find him. He found you. He accepted you even before. Jesus died for the whole world while they were yet ungodly. Amen. He loved God so loved the world. Amen. God so loved the world. And then, in fact, over in 1 John 4, it says this in verse 19. He said, you know, you guys love because I loved you first. I put that love in you. Amen. And I love this one because Jesus lives in us. He said, but the world should know that you sent Jesus. Why? And yet you've loved us as thou hast loved me. I mean, what an amazing thing. But I'm going to give you three things today that the Father desires to do in your life. And then I have seven things at the end that is from Psalms 91, if we get to that. But three things. First of all, you need to know God loves you. I know that's so simple, but it's so profound when you actually understand the love that God has. Why did God say, or through the Apostle Paul, that when he prayed for that you would be rooted and grounded in love? In fact, let's go over to that. Go over to Ephesians with me. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today because we all say, oh, I know Jesus loves me. I know. But are you receiving his love? How many of you know sometimes when you loved your kids, they didn't like it? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 3, you know, and yet you knew you had to discipline, you knew you had to, you know, stand your ground because you knew it was going to benefit them in the long run. Well, how many know God knows more better than all of us? Hallelujah. In verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And look at this little phrase, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you'll be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of that love, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He said he wanted to be rooted and grounded in love. And he goes on to say, I want you to understand the breadth of that love. I want you to understand the length of that love. I want you to understand the depth of that love and the height of how high it goes. And I want you to know the love of Christ. Yes, it passes all knowledge. You're not going to understand in your head, hallelujah, but in your heart, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you get an understanding of how much God loves you, if you get an understanding and being rooted and grounded in that, then you don't get offended. Amen? Then you don't stop serving God. Then you don't stop being obedient to what he asks you to do. Why? Because you know he loves you. Every time God asks you to do something, you know it's for your best. Every time he shared to do things. And when you do things for him, knowing what the word of God declares, it changes you. Amen? But you got to be rooted and grounded in. Most people, when they get rooted and grounded in love, they think it's the ooey gooey kind. When you look at Jesus' life, he was totally love because God is love and Jesus was God. Amen? So he had a revelation. But when I read the word of God, I don't see any ooey gooey. Man, I mean, Jesus, the way he spoke to his disciples, whoo, they would have had their own personal therapist. I mean, they needed it. Where's your faith? Oh, how long am I going to have to put up with you? Where's the love? Get thee behind me, Satan. Said that to Peter. Did Jesus ever walk out of love? No, ever. Not one time. Y'all got quiet on that. Kind of shocked you. Well, yeah, but, you know, Peter deserved it. Well, you know, I don't know if we would have done. I mean, Peter, at least, you know, Peter jumped out of the boat, man, right? At least he's walking on the water. For a little bit, he's walking on the water. But then he, you know, his eyes gets off of Jesus. He looks at the waves and the wind, and he begins to sink, you know. And so Jesus reaches down and says, oh, ye of little faith. Where's your faith? Where? You know, he picks him up, brings him back into the boat, you know. But thank God, Peter, at least he got out of the boat. Everybody else was just jockeying for positions to see. And that's a lot of things about the church is we're all just trying to get in a position to see instead of being the ones doing it. But see, love is what compels us. Love is what constrains us. Love is that driving force in us because God so loved the world that he placed that love in us so that we would love the world, so that we would love one another. Amen. But when you get rooted and grounded and you know the depths of it, you know the height of it. Amen. Glory to God. You know the breadth of it, how wide. That love, the reason that it's beyond knowledge, and that's what it says, is because God is love. He doesn't have love. That's right. It's like God is love. God is peace. God is faithful. He is all of these things. I know that might not be good English, but it doesn't matter. It is. Okay? He is all of these things. He's not have them. He doesn't possess them. He is. And so from him flows what? Flows everything. From him flows love. For all that we need, because God so loved that he gave Jesus. Amen? Amen. Jesus loved us enough to hang on the cross. Amen. Amen. But God so loved us that he sent the Holy Spirit to live and to dwell on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To take care of us. Amen. And that's the second thing. The Father loves us, knowing that. But the second thing is knowing he's going to take care of me. Amen. Amen. He's going to take care of me. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hopefully you brought your Bibles. If you didn't, you know, maybe they can shove it, throw it up there or whatever. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. And I'm going to read it out of the King James and read it out of the Amplified for you. Verse 5 and out of the King James says this, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, And be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen? Now let me read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. He said this, let your character and your moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Yeah, I love it. I love it. When you believe that God is your source, then you become good stewards of what God's given you. When you don't believe God is your source, then you're having to try to do it yourself. And that's why you get frustrated. Amen. When you know God loves you and he's going to take care of you, you're like, whew. It's like, awesome. God's got it. It doesn't mean that I don't have to do my part and direct my steps and do the things he wants me to do. But I know God said all things work together for the good to those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. If you understand God's love towards you, then you can love God. Amen. And you don't, right? Because you got to, and the Bible says, you know, John said this way, you know, we love God. Why? Because he first loved us. It's the love of, what does Romans 5:5 say? The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. Because that love's been shed abroad in my heart, I have the capacity to love. I have the capacity to forgive. I have the capacity to do whatever God's calling me to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Because he's declared that. He's declared that. And he'll take care of us. Amen. God's got it. We just got to trust him. Yes. Believe it and then do our part when he tells us to do our part. Amen? Amen? God's got it forth. Hallelujah. And here's the thing. It's truth that's acted upon that changes your heart. When you dare to step out and say, Lord, here we go. Hallelujah. Here we go. Amen. Because we all know Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, here in Ephesians, when it talked about being strengthened with all might in the inner man, he's talking about that. But he said, here's how you get strengthened on the inside of you. Is by being rooted and grounded in the love of God. Amen. That God has toward me so that my love can go toward others. Amen. And love always speaks the truth. Sometimes you have to say some things. You have to rise up and speak some things. Amen. Hallelujah. And you have to go with what the Word of God says over everything else that's going on around you. Amen. It's so vitally, vitally important of what God's desire, what God is saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Because not only does God love us, not only does he care for us, but man, he wants to be, I always say it this way, he just wants to be for us. And just like, what does that mean? He wants to be whatever you need. Yes. He wants to be. Do you ever wonder why, when Moses said, who am I going to tell him sent me? Who am I going to? You tell him, I am sent you. I am. Remember over then Jesus says the same thing. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Said the same thing. And that's why they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. Do you ever ask yourself, why in the heck did he say, I am? Because he couldn't say, I was. He could. But then we wouldn't know if he am. Or if he is. Amen. He could have said, I will be. Because why? Because God was, and am, and will be. But why did he use the word I am? Because God is always present. God is always present. He's always now. What time is it in heaven? Now. It's now. Hallelujah. The glory of it is to realize he said, I am. I am what? I am whatever you need. I'll be your protector. I will be your provider. I will be your strengthener. I will be wisdom to you. I will, you know, do all these things. What is it that I need? Why? Because I am's with me. I bring the I am with me. Because he gave me the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, and placed it on the inside of me. So I am. So if I am, I is. It works out good. Why is that? Because we have a tendency to put all the promises of God way out there. Someday. And someday's a terrible thing. It's the worst day in the world. It never gets here. Absolutely. It never gets here. It is. You know, yesterday is yesterday. Tomorrow's tomorrow. But today, what did Jesus say? Today is sufficient thereof. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day. Today is the day to take hold. Today is the day to say, hey, here we go. Let's do this. And here's the thing about it. When we say we love the Father, he said, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, I know you love me. He says, well, I can't keep all 10 again. Well, in the New Testament, it says, we just keep the commandment of love. Because it says, if we love one another, then we fulfilled the whole law. Fulfilled all of the commandments. Remember when they came to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? And, you know, Jesus said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy strength. And the second one is just like this, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Isn't it amazing that they kept using the word love? They kept using that word love because it's a brand new word that Jesus gave called agape in the Greek. And it's a word that he invented. He said it because he said, this is not a love. It's not a selfish love. It's not a friendship love. It's not a sexual love. It is an unconditional love that changes the course of your life. Because the Bible says we know that we've passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. I mean, that's the only way. The only way that we can have unity is to have unity this way. And it's the love of the Father. Amen. It really is. And God loves you. That's the one thing I want you to know. He's our Heavenly Father and he loves us. He desires to care for us. He desires to protect us. He desires to provide. He desires to do all things if you'll trust him. And if you'll trust him as a father. Amen. You know, there was a saying that we used to say, God will always do a father's part. The problem is we have a lot of fathers who didn't do their part. So it messed everybody up. Amen? They said, well, I have this misconception, so it's really hard. See, because what God wanted us to do was raise our kids trusting in us, how to raise them up and get them to trust in God so we can hand them over to God. So it's easy. I trusted my father, now I can trust this father. Amen? That was God's plan. God's purpose. That's why he gave us the ability to be parents. He gave us the honor and privilege to raise his kids. Amen? Hallelujah. You know? And when we begin to see things, it's like, wow. In fact, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I just want to stir your heart. I want you to know, one thing you get out of it, just know, you know what? I think I'm loved. I think God loves me. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, I just went through and started listening to things and reading things and putting down, I thought, golly, I got 55 scriptures. That might be a lot to bring out here. You know, I mean, you talk about the love of God. God's amazing. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Hallelujah. And in the Amplified Bible for verse 7 says this, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he, God, cares for you affectionately and he cares about you watchfully. I mean, I love the way the Amplified does it because it basically, you know, begins to share all the different aspects of the Greek language, but it gives us this whole concept of man. I mean, God really, he does. He's going above and beyond. Hallelujah. He's just going above and beyond. Why? Because God loves me. Amen. And just like Pastor Pam shared, you know, in ministering by speaking out and saying, listen, it doesn't matter if, you know, the hard times and what goes on. That's when God's holding us up. It doesn't look like he's there, but he's there with us, strengthening us. Hallelujah. Because many times we ask ourselves, why? Why did this happen? That's the number one question that I've asked, and I've had to do some soul searching and do my own see what God's saying, and then I have to repent. Amen. Don't get all nervous. Repentance is the way out. Repentance is awesome. If you think repentance is a bad word, it's why you're defeated. Because if you've never repented, truly repented, and repentance means you stop what you're doing, you turn around and go a 180. Hallelujah. It means you say, I repent for this. This is bad. I'm going to do it. I'm turning, And when you realize you repent and say, Father, forgive me for doing that or for acting that way or for whatever, And truly, it's the way out. It's not, something that says, oh, I'm going to feel bad. No, it's like, glory to God, I'm going to truly repent so I can get set free so the devil can never use that against me in my life. Amen. Because the Bible says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. It just wipes out the devil. See, the only reason the devil has power in our lives is because we don't ever repent of things so he can keep using them. Amen. But once you get it out there, and then the devil tries to bring it back, and you just laugh. Say, oh, no, I gave that to God. I repented. God said, I confessed it. It's gone. It's gone. Take it up with Jesus. Take it up with Jesus. I'm free. There's no condemnation. There's no guilt. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because he loves me enough to forgive me. And I love him enough to ask for that forgiveness. Amen. See, we have a tendency to, when we mess up, we run away from God. No, God wants us to run to him. Amen. Hallelujah. God's desire is for you and I. I mean, amen. God's for us. He's not against us. Amen. I mean, we know that. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. it's so wonderful. God's got all these scriptures for us that it's like, wow, this is pretty cool. Hallelujah. Psalms 27:1 in the Amplified says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is my refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is on my side. Amen. Glory to God. And all of us know, we know the Lord's Prayer, but we also know Psalms 23. What an amazing psalm. The very first verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wow. It's the King James Version says, I shall not want. I don't have any wants. I have to remind myself of that. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. When I start wanting, I have to remind myself, okay, what am I doing here? But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Glory to God. Because there's no God like our God. There's no Father like our Father. That's the thing about it. God wanted intimacy. He wanted us to have a fellowship. He desired that more than anything else. Amen. That was his heart. Now I want you to go to Psalms 91. And we will just wrap this up really quick with something to shout about. Amen. Hallelujah. Although I think we can shout about what he's done already in our lives. Hallelujah. And when you understand that, and it's so hard. I know it's hard for people. It's really hard for people to really comprehend the love of God because we know how many times we failed or we failed him. How many times we promised, we vowed. Amen. And we've all messed up. We have. We all have. But the wonderful thing about it is that when you know the love of God, it's like it's okay. It's okay. We learn to forgive ourselves because of his great love. Because when we think that we can't love anymore, we know he can. Amen. And when we don't have the strength to do things, we know he gives us the strength to do it. Amen. He gives us the capacity. When we don't think we can forgive, then we declare that the love of God shed abroad in my heart, so I have the capacity to forgive. Amen. The word of God is so. In Psalms 91, verse 14, once again, he said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. And because we set our love on God, because he's already given us that love, he says, number one, he's going to deliver us. Do you know the very first person he delivers you from is you? How many of you ever heard this saying, that you're your own worst enemy? That you're stopping the blessings because you don't think you deserve them. Even though we don't deserve it, even though we can't earn it, he still gives it. Amen. Hallelujah. I always humorously say this. Guess what? You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Guess what? You don't get to go past gold. You don't get to collect $200. You're supposed to go to jail. You were supposed to die lost and go to hell. But Jesus came and he gave you a get out of jail free card. And he came and he said, listen, I'm giving you, and I'm not only giving you that, but you get Boardwalk, you get all these other places, you can have all the railroads. I'm giving, because Jesus came to give us life. Amen. Even though we don't deserve it, hallelujah, we get it anyways. And so we've got to walk in the sense of deserving his love. Hallelujah. So receiving that. And when you receive that, it changes your perspective. See, he's going to deliver you from you. Thank God he'll deliver us from the enemy. Thank God he'll deliver us out of all of our tests. But he's going to deliver you from you. That's right. See, we've got to expand our thought process. Yeah. You, and you know how much you're loved. You're like John. Whoo, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Let me just write a whole book about me. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Outran Peter. I'm the disciple. And you know what? He said it so much. What did Peter say? Peter reaches out. John, he likes you better. Ask him who it is. Amen. What? Right? Right? I mean, come on. You read it. In, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. We've like, wow, dude, look at this guy. I mean, they tried to kill him, and they couldn't. I mean, he's the one that wrote Revelations. He's also the one who wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I mean, you know, we see this. He was the last of the apostles to pass away. I mean, and the whole thing that he always talked about, the whole thing through there, his whole thing through the book of John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, is love of God. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. John knew he was loved. Amen. And if you know you're loved, glory to God, it'll stop a whole lot of problems going on in your life. Amen? Isn't it amazing? Next thing he said, he's going to set us on high because we've known his name, which means he's going to raise us up. Amen? And he did that because Paul declared that we've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When God, Jesus was raised up, we were raised up together with him to sit at the right hand of God. We can't get any higher spiritually than we already are. He said, I'm going to set you on high. I'm going to give you the authority that you're supposed to have. Amen. 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 Glory to God. And then people say, oh, you just think you're this. No, God didn't. I'm just part of the family. I get to walk in. I'm going to pull up to the table. I got a seat at the table. Got my name on it. Hallelujah. I can't help it that it's all been bought and paid for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. But here's the next thing that he declares in Psalms 91. He says this. He says, you shall call upon me, talking about the Lord, and I will answer him. I get my prayers answered. Amen. Amen. I can communicate with God. I can have fellowship with him. Why? Because he loves me. And I love him. And I'm going to be obedient. Hallelujah. And he's delivered me. He's lifted me up on high. And now we're talking. Now we're getting answers. We're not walking in the dark because the Holy Spirit's showing me things to come. The Holy Spirit is enabling me to talk with my Father, giving me revelation, showing me things. Amen? Hallelujah. Now here's the next one. Glory to God. He goes, I'm going to be with him in trouble and I will deliver him. Again, out of trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Not some, but all of them. I may get into a lot of messes, but praise God, God's going to help me get out if I repent. Amen. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, I will honor him. I will honor you. Now, that's pretty incredible when you think God said, I'm going to honor you. You've honored me, I'm going to honor you. You know, of course, in the scriptures, we know it declares that if you honor God, he'll honor you. Amen. And he declared in Psalms 91, I'm going to honor him. That's what it says. You know, he says, I'm going to be with him in trouble and I will deliver and honor him. That's a whole subject that we should be declaring and sharing on, but honor something that our world has no concept of what true honor is. But praise the Lord for that. But God's going to honor, and guess what? God knows what honor is. Hallelujah. Then he goes and he says, I'm going to give with long life will I satisfy you. And the seventh one is, I'm going to show you my salvation. If there's anything else, that word, my salvation, is I'm going to show you everything. My healing, my power, my deliverance, everything that you have need of. Amen? Hallelujah. And the wonderful thing about God is he's made provision for us. But because of his great love, he's given everything. But he won't force anything on you. He's the perfect gentleman. He won't even answer if you don't ask. You got to ask. You got to seek. You got to find. I mean, he said over there in Luke's gospel, he said, listen, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask? To give good things to them that ask. You know? I mean, I tell you what, one of the things that you know, and I appreciate about my son, which is Aaron, he's Pastor Aaron and everything, but about him growing up, I mean, he'd make me so frustrated. He'd get in trouble. We'd have to discipline him, do everything. But 30 seconds after that, he'd be asking for the moon. Because he believed that, okay, that's over. That's over. We dealt with that. You got that. Now, I want this. And it's like, And yet I had to be like God and say, yeah, you're right. We've asked forgiveness, but that has nothing to do. We're all going on based on this 30 seconds. I can't hold grudges. I can't still be mad. I can't still be upset. Because we asked for forgiveness, because we dealt with it, because there was correction, there was things. And he didn't waste any time. He believed what I told him, that God forgave you and I forgive you. Boom, we're good. I mean, he taught me, and he's almost still that way. So it's like, hey, okay. But it's like, boom, I'm like, I learned a lot about the love of God because he actually believed that. Amen. But we as parents, do we believe that? Amen. Do we believe that? Are we looking? And the reason that we have a hard time with that is because we don't understand the love of the Father. Amen. God loves you. He cares for you. He placed that love within you. I don't know what else he could do. He sent his son. Jesus died for us so that we could have forgiveness of sins, so that we could all be children of God. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to live, to dwell on the inside of us as we received him, to show us things to come, so that we could walk through this life, not by ourselves. Amen. He loved us so much. He says, I'm going to send someone that's going to tell you how to live. Amen. And help you in how to live. Glory to God. I mean, there's nothing else he can do for us. He didn't make us robots. I mean, thank God for that he didn't make us robots. Hallelujah. He made us so that we all have a free will to receive or not receive. And what happens is that we have to choose to let the love of God rule in our heart. We have to choose to be rooted and grounded in that. That's why the Apostle Paul prays those prayers. He prayed those prayers for all of his churches. He prayed, God, that you open their eyes. Let them be rooted and grounded. Let them do this. Let them, because why? Because he knew that was the only way that they were going to succeed. And it was because of the love of God. Amen? It's only because of that. It's only, and when you let that love come out of you, it'll help you to love the unlovable. It will. It'll help you to forgive. It really will. And to be able to share the love of God with those around and say, well, it's because of the love of God. Why are you doing this? Why is it? Because God's told me to, because it's the love of God. Amen? And you're doing it because God told you to, not because you think you're going to get a reward. Amen? That's the thing about it is. And when you set your love on God, Psalms 91, all of those seven things gets to be yours. When you set your love on him, then he says, good, you set your love on him. Here's what my love's going to do for you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to set you on high. Amen? Glory to God. I'm going to do all of these things for you. Hallelujah. And you receive that. You take hold of it. And God changes your life. So know that your Heavenly Father, this is all about our Heavenly Father and of what he's done and the love of Jesus. Thank God that we're loved. When you know you're loved, thank God that we're his beloved. You know, there's a song we used to sing, I am his beloved and he is mine. His banner over me is love. And everybody said, oh, that's a corny song. That, listen, if you believe it, there's nothing corny about it. It's supernatural. Hallelujah. Because when people say, well, I don't understand, say, well, it's the love of God. It's the grace of God. It's the love of God. That's what compels us to come. That's what compels us to do. Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. Thank you for your amazing grace. Father, I've just shared my heart about the love that you have for us. Father, I thank you for this congregation because I love them dearly. It's such so precious. And Father, I have a greater, I don't want to say understanding, but I have a greater heart for your love. And I thank you that you love me so much that you raised me up. And you've allowed me to be here and to speak about your goodness and about your grace, about your love. Because it's your love that raises us up. Father, but your greatest love that you did is you gave Jesus. The word declares God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Thank you for that, your great love wherewith you loved us. Thank you for that wonderful love. Father, we know that your word also declares, it says, God is love. And you also went along to say, tell us that we can be perfected in that love if we understand how much you love us. Father, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice or anyone watching, if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, or Father, they've been knocked backwards by things and they need to come back and understand your love is still there. Coming back to you that you love them, that you're like the prodigal son. They're like the prodigal son and you're like the prodigal son's father. That when he saw him afar off, even though the son took the inheritance, he went out, he squandered it. He did all wrong things. He ended up living in the pig pen. But Father, when you saw him, and when his earthly father saw him, he ran to him, put his arms around him and said, my son that was dead is now alive. And of course, the son said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Let me just be a servant. And the father didn't even acknowledge. He just said, no, let's kill the fatted calf. My son has come home. So coming back to God is just coming. God would run to you. He'll put his arms around you and he'll say, no, let's rejoice. My son, my daughter is coming home. So if you're here and you need Jesus, or you just need to come home, or you need to come for the first time, God loves you so much. You can raise your hand. Let's pray. Let's pray a prayer. Let's pray a prayer that changes your life. Believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. It's so good to confess his lordship over your life. So if you're here, anyone here, anybody watching, praise God, just raise your hand so I can pray. We might all be born again here, which is probably hard. To come on a Father's Day for you to show up, we're so glad you're here. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for Harvest Bible Church. Thank you for all these wonderful guys that are fathers that are here. Thank you for all those ones watching. Lord, we honor you and thank you. Hallelujah. That we celebrate you as our Heavenly Father. And so it is. It's a happy Father's Day to you, Lord. It's a happy Father's Day to you, Father. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you, Father, as we go out these doors, we go out into a mission field, that we can let the love of God, hallelujah, go forth, and we can minister the word of God out there and bring more and more people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we honor you for that. We thank you for it now. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. I want you all to have a wonderful Father's Day. Let's all stand up. We are going to have our prayer team come forward if you need prayer for anything. Hey, listen, I love you. God loves you. Be blessed. Happy Father's Day.